The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
All right, class. Does anyone know what important event occurred 485 years ago today? I'm looking for a show of hands. Anyone? 485 years ago today. Well, I'll tell you what it is. But first, welcome to Bob Burney Live. It is the 5 o'clock hour. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. 485 years ago today, October 6, 1536. A man by the name of William Tyndale was first strangled to death and then burned at the stake. Many people forget or don't know that before he was actually burned at the stake, he was strangled to death. Who put him to death? The church. The church. Yes, he was executed by the church. And what was he executed for? Heresy. Well, what was the heresy? Did he deny the divinity of God? No. He denied the Trinity? No. He denied the bodily resurrection of Christ? No. Deny the blood atonement of Christ? No. Deny the virgin birth of Christ? No. Then what did he do? He printed the Bible in English. Part of the Protestant Reformation. William Tyndale, scholar, preacher, translator, printer, was killed by his own church on this day in 1536. I have said this over and over again, but it is just so true. If you look at the history of Christianity from the day of Pentecost, most people begin to believe that the church began on the day of Pentecost. Some will debate that. Who knows? Okay. So what? From the beginning of the church until now, most of the history of the Church of Jesus Christ has been characterized by persecution. Most. Not always, but the majority of the history of the church, the New Testament church, has been characterized by persecution and many times even martyrdom. It is not unique or unusual to read about Christians being persecuted and martyred. There are some bubbles in Christian history. Modern-day England. And I say modern-day England going back to the 1700s. From the 1700s until about 30 years ago, Christians in Great Britain were honored, respected, and not so much now, persecution is beginning in Great Britain against Bible-believing Christians, not people who call themselves Christians and deny the authority of Scripture. I'm talking about real Bible-believing Christians. And then we have the United States of America. No reasonable, objective person can deny that the United States of America was founded on biblical principles, a Judeo-Christian worldview. Anyone who denies that is not objective at all, and they're lying to themselves. You cannot study the founding of America and not understand that this country was founded on biblical principles. Now, we can argue whether it was ever truly a Christian country or not. We've had Supreme Court justices who have said it was. We've had presidents who said it was. So we can debate that. But there is no debate that our founding principles are biblical. George Washington, our first president, often referred to as the father of our country, in his farewell address as he finished his presidency, is filled with references to what America was founded on, and he made it very clear that our present form of government is absolutely dependent upon the Christian religion. If you don't believe me, read it. Farewell address. It's lengthy. George Washington could talk and talk and talk. It's lengthy. But if you read it, you cannot conclude anything else. And so for the first 200 years of America, people who honor the Bible, honor Jesus, serve God, have been honored and respected and not persecuted. We have been living in a 200-year bubble as compared to much, if not most, of the history of Christianity since the day of Pentecost. That bubble is bursting. Christians are no longer honored in America today. If you are a Bible-believing Christian and actually believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, you're a radical. And many people believe, honestly believe, that you are an enemy to America because you're a religious fanatic. What, because you believe what most, not all, but what most of our founding fathers believe? Yeah, you're a radical. You are an enemy. That is the prevailing thought in America, and it's getting worse. Now, will things turn around? I don't know. Can't predict. I would hope. I pray for a national revival. Will it come? I don't know. But I do know this. The things that happened to the reformers in the late 1400s, 1500s, thousands and thousands and thousands of them were killed, martyred, and they were martyred by the church. That's why there are so many parallels between established religion of today and the Pharisees and Sadducees of Jesus' time. Have you read what Jesus said about the religious leaders of his day? Snakes, vipers, whited sepulchers filled with dead men's bones. Jesus said, you killed the prophets. You killed the people who prophesied about me, and you are going to kill me. He was talking about the church of his time. The word church wasn't used until later. But the Jewish leaders, the established religion that was established not on the Bible, but on tradition. The Jews of Jesus' day were far, far, far more concerned about traditions than they were about the Bible. And if you buck those traditions, you would be put to death. Which is exactly what happened to William Tyndale. On this day, 485 years ago, he dared to take a stand, a position, on the authority of Scripture and the belief that every Christian should have the Word of God.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
I hope I made clear the main point that I wanted to communicate in that last segment about William Tyndale. And that is this. We've been living in a bubble for 200 years. We have been an outlier, if you will, in the history of the Christian church. And we should not be surprised if persecution comes. Am I wanting it? No. Am I desiring it? No, of course not. But I am saying we are not exempt either. Are they going to start burning Christians at the stake anytime soon in America? No. Mm-mm. No, that's no. Could it happen? Yeah, it could. Going to happen anytime soon? No. You just may lose your job. You may have your children taken away. You may be forced to educate your children in a way that you disagree with, or at least attempted to force you to educate your children in a way that you disagree with. You may be punished on your job because of your belief. Your employer may try to force you to violate your convictions. Those things, unless we take a turn in the other direction, those things are going to become more and more common. So I'm not a doom and gloomer. I think you know that. But I am a realist. And we should not be surprised. Well, Bob, does that mean we're just going to sit around and take it? I didn't say that. I didn't say anything close to that. I'm just saying, if it comes, we should not be surprised. The Southern Baptists, big news for the Southern Baptists. It may not be big news to you if you're not a Southern Baptist, but this is big news. We know that sexual abuse has occurred in the Southern Baptist Convention. We know that. Is it anywhere close to the scandal that has reached the Catholic Church in America and around the world? And I've got a story about France that will absolutely blow your mind about a brand new report released about the Catholic Church in France. I'll get to that in just a moment. However, we know that it has occurred in the Southern Baptist Convention, and we know that there has been some cover-up. How much? We don't know. But we know that it has happened, and we know that there has been some cover-up. Two newspapers in Texas a year and a half ago printed investigative reports on some of the churches in Texas, Southern Baptist churches, where sexual abuse had happened, and the cover-up, which is absolutely wrong and despicable. It's wrong and despicable that sexual abuse occurred in the church by anyone in spiritual leadership, whether it was the pastor, youth leader, or whatever. It is also despicable that it wasn't dealt with and that it was covered up. And in some cases, the victim was blamed, which is even more despicable. All right. As a result of those investigative reports, Some in the upper leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention said, we need an investigation. We need to be open. We need to be transparent. If we got a problem, we need to deal with it. Well, amen. I agree with that completely. And so one of the big topics at the last Southern Baptist Convention meeting this past summer was this investigation for sexual abuse. The messengers, as they are called, those are all the people who attended the convention. They're called messengers. They voted overwhelmingly for an independent third-party investigation. There were some leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention who said, oh, we'll investigate it ourselves. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. So the vote was overwhelming. We need an independent third-party investigation, no holds barred, absolutely transparent, and we need to do it right away. Well, the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, which I think there's all told, I think there's almost 100 people on the executive committee. I'm not really familiar with all the politics and polity of the convention. But anyway, it was their task to arrange for this independent investigation. So they hired a company called Guideposts. Guidepost Solutions. They have done a lot of investigations for denominations, individual churches, and so forth. So they hired them. And an independent task force was formed, independent from the convention, overseen by Guidepost Solutions. All right. Let me get to the crux of it. Guidepost Solutions and this independent task force said, we've got to have absolute transparency, and therefore, anyone who is investigated must give up attorney-client privilege. You got to give that up. Well, many people in the executive committee says, whoa, wait a minute, that we would be giving up our legal rights. And not only that, the insurance company might drop the insurance coverage, liability coverage for the whole convention, which could cost multiplied millions of dollars in damages and so forth. And so the debate began, and this debate has been hot for weeks, whether the attorney-client privilege should be revoked. Two votes. The executive committee said, no, we'll be transparent, but we're not going to give up attorney-client privilege. There was outrage in the convention. I mean outrage. Well, the executive committee yesterday took a third vote, and they are now suspending attorney-client privilege. I think that's a good thing. Will it silence a lot of the critics? No, some people just like to be critical. But I think it's a good move. The investigation can continue, and it should.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.